This conference is being recorded.
Oh, that is so awesome. Okay, great. Okay, hi, guys.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. All of that you heard me doing was me dealing with the technical aspect of us recording our call, and it wasn't cooperating. So, all right, we're good. So we still have a good minute, and people are going to now just start calling in like crazy. So we're just going to, you know, waste some time here a little bit or just chit-chat a little bit while waiting for those people. So while we let me ask you, those of you that are on the call, did anybody have anything good happen in the last 30 days in the month of June? And
oh, I have, Daryl. Daryl, well, this is Janet in Atlanta. I have.
Oh, Janet, let me hear it, darling. What happened?
Daryl, I've been in the business 30 years, and this is the busiest I've ever been in 30 years.
That is so awesome. What do you attribute that to?
Just all of a sudden, it's picked up greatly here in Atlanta with sales and leases, both commercial and residential. It's just crazy right now.
Now, how long have you noticed that, Janet? In the past few months or this whole year?
Just the
or?
Past, I would, no, just the past 6 weeks.
Yeah, let me tell you why that might be. Let me tell you why that might be, Janet, in Atlanta. There was a big article that just came out not too long ago in the show business industry that the governor of your state has really pushed towards giving a lot of breaks to the movie industry. And of all the cities, including New York, with the exception of L.A., Atlanta is like the number one film industry location in the country. And so everybody's moving to, I know actors who are actually literally moving to Atlanta so they can get some of the work. So that might have something to do with it, okay? Are you there, Janet?
I believe that.
Yeah, yeah. So
yes,
anyway.
I believe that. That's been like that though. But
yeah,
I don't know where the other part's coming from.
Yeah, you know, I know it's been like that, but I think because the article just came out is helping bring more of a surge to it. Like, I think there's more and more people that are now, hey, really? so you're going to see more of an influx, I think, of buyers especially. So anyway, congratulations, Janet. We'll keep going and make sure you just keep listening.
But Daryl,
yeah.
Let me say this, though, too. Okay, this was just in the Wall Street Journal. Atlanta is tied with another state for having the most number of people still underwater on their mortgages. So that means there will be a lot more short sales coming up.
Yeah, okay. All right, well.
Which is good for business.
It is. It's too bad for the homeowners, but I guess it's good for business. And, you keep plugging along. Keep doing what you're doing. You're obviously doing a lot of right things. All right, let me do this. I'm going to officially start the call now. And all right. So now, gang, what I just did, well, let me do like this. Hang on.
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star 6.
All right, so I don't know if you heard that instructions, but, gang, here's what I just did. I muted everybody because now there's so many people on the call. The quality of the call is going to get bad, and you'll hear a lot of static and stuff. So right now, you can only hear me, and I can't hear you. But I'm going to tell you how I can hear you. Now, during this call, and we've got some new people on the call, so I want to welcome those people who are on the call for the very first time. Here's the purpose of these calls is that every month, is to do basically three things. Number one is for you to stop working in your business, work on your business, and to make just minor improvements to how you do what you do. You know, if you improve just 10% a month, that's 120% in a year. And sometimes we look for those quick fixes and we look for those surges of activity or production. And the truth is, you know, one of the things, those of you that have attended my seminars in the last few months, you've heard me talk about this, and I'm going to do this real quick, is if you started right now with zero listings. And by the way, I'm going to show you how to make 100 grand. And even if you've heard me do this before, this is good for you to hear it again. If you started right now with zero listings, nothing, nada, and you focus on the next 30 days of getting just one listing, we all could do that. Everybody in this call could get one listing in 30 days. All right, now if you go into month two and do the same thing again, it's 2 months, you've got two listings. Now some people would say, well, that's not good. You know, that's only two listings in 60 days. But I want you to see what happens in the course of 12 months. If you keep doing that and you build your inventory, so it's not just get listings, but build your inventory by one a month. So on month three, you have three, and month four, you have four. And if you keep building the inventory of what's available, at the end of 12 months, you should have 12 listings in your inventory, but you didn't get 12. You got more than 12 because you kept replenishing as the months went on and things sold off. So if I do that again, if you got zero and you get one in 30 days, then month two you get two, and in month three, one of those other two sold, you're not going to get just one, you're going to get two to replenish. So you replenish inventory as it sells off. So if you focus on building listing inventory by one a month, and if you started with zero listings, and at the end of 12 months, you probably got maybe 24 listings, and of those 24, before they expire, you probably will have at least 20 of them sell. But let's say if only 15 of them sold. And if each one that sold was worth $5,000 in your pocket, that's $75,000 you generated in revenue from just building your inventory by one a month, starting with zero. So now, first of all, I just did two things. Number one is I reiterated a business plan on how to make 100 grand. Now, that was 75, but what we didn't put in that math is the extra sales you're going to get from buyers who are coming to see your inventory. So that 75 listing sold side, probably another $25,000 in extra buyer side. So there's your 100 grand. So I just showed you how to generate $100,000 in business over the course of 12 months. But here's the second thing and why I actually started this conversation is to highlight the importance of these calls every month. That every month, if you just improve 10% a month without compounding, that's 120% increase in your skill and your ability in your business, okay? So number one reason why we do these calls every month is for that, for you to work on your business and stop working in it just for 60 minutes to improve. The second thing is to give you some one-on-one coaching in a group environment. So this is an opportunity for you to ask me a question, for me to coach you. Now, some of you smart folks have either emailed me ahead of time or you sent me a voice recording that you can do through the website. And I'm going to start with those people first in a minute. And then the third thing is if we have time left over, because I like to focus mostly on the coaching, is to go through the magazine. Every month, there is a magazine that we upload to the Power Program website. ThePowerProgram.com. Now, for those of you that don't have a username password, I'm going to tell you two things to get your username password if you've signed up for the program, because we've had some challenges with people calling us on this. There's two things. Number one is when you get the username password, it may have gone to your junk folder. If you were to search your junk folder for a keyword like power or password or Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, you might find it there. The other thing you can do is if you go to thepowerprogram.com, you're going to see a little icon over to the right that says live chat. If you click on live chat, there's somebody standing by waiting to chat with you. So if you have any questions or comments or concerns or how to get your username and password, just use that chat. It's not going to me, it's going to somebody else that's standing by. Okay, so with that said, let's get this party started. What I'm going to do is, as I go through this, gang, if you want to talk to me or ask me a question, I'm going to tell you how to unmute yourself. And how you unmute yourself is by hitting star. Yeah, star six. If you hit star six on your keypad, it takes about 10 seconds, so be patient. But that will unmute you, and then I'll be able to hear you, and you and I can talk one-on-one. So I'm going to call out some people here. And let me start off with Michelle Miller. Are you on the call? Now, if you are, Michelle, you're going to hit star 6. Do it one time. Don't do it twice. And give it about 10 seconds, and then I can hear you. So hit that if you haven't done it, star 6. Now, Michelle's not on the call. I'm going to still answer her question. And so, Michelle, are you with us? Okay, because now what I'm going to do, gang, is I'm going to read her question. I'm going to coach her without her responding, but she can listen to it later on because we're going to upload this to the website. So if you ever can't make a call, it'll be on there. She said, Daryl, I need help. I need help staying focused, prioritizing clients' needs and wants, and getting organized. And the clients' needs and wants is a tough one, but I think I'll try my without her being on the call. So I need to get organized with the influx of business I have not experienced before. So she's really also she's experiencing an influx. So that's two agents that are having a surge of business. also, would like to create my own database drip campaign. Last time we spoke, I mentioned my desire to track listings. This has seemed to be working out as I've gotten some listings and people off the fence. My goal, she said, is to at least get one closing per month and be able to make it a reality even in the midst of some time-consuming personal details. Okay, so there's a lot of questions that Michelle asked here, and they're all great. So that's, I think, applies to all of us. And so you all pay attention because I know every one of us on this call can use to get more organized, to get more focused on how to increase our business. Let me start with her question about having the one closing per month. You know, if you wanted to do a real simple business plan, gang, to look at how much money you should be generating each month. I'm going to do it real simple. I've seen so many complicated business plans for agents, and I don't like to make it complicated. I don't think that way. So if, let's say, you need, you know, $5,000 a month to pay your bills, you know, and you should go back and look at what do you need financially to just break even, and then on top of that, after your break-even point, and don't get so hung up on this. Some people, like, they stress about, well, I got to go look at my credit card statements and my monthly bills and the check. Don't get so crazy about it. As a matter of fact, what you could do to make it really simple is whoever did your taxes, if it was an accountant, ask your taxes, your accountant, to give you a ballpark based on your tax return. What do they think you need every month to pay your personal bills, pay your business bills, and pay your taxes? A lot of us forget that tax piece. So find out what that number is. Now, whatever that number is, I suggest that you put 20% on top of it because you're probably going to come up short anyway. Number two, it's better to have more money than you need just to survive. So figure out what that number is that you need each month. Simply take that number and figure out when you're closing how much how many closes you need to cover that number. So if you average $5,000 per commission in your market and you come up with $5,000 that you need every month, well, there you go. It's one closing. So you just need one closing and to cover that number. The next question is how many listings do you need to get that one sale? You know, if you your business, here's the point I'm making, gang, is your business plan financially should be based on listings, not on buyers. You should have buyer sales be icing on the cake, extra money, fun money, above and beyond money. Because you can't do a business plan that is strong and successful that's based on buyers because they're too up and down, they're too emotional. You can't force people to buy. You know, what you can do is you can, you know, I've done this analogy before. I'm going to do it real quick. If you were selling shoes for a living, you would either have a shoe store with shoes and you promote the hell out of your store for buyers to come to your store. Now, the more buyers you have, the more chances you're going to make sales happen. Now, if you did it the other way where you put a buyer in your car and you drove them around to sell them a pair of shoes, there's no guarantee that that buyer is going to buy a pair of shoes. So you've spent all this time, energy, hours, whatever, and gas and taking this buyer out, and you still don't know if you're going to make a sale. And then you can do that again and again. So it's not a good business model to figure out your cash flow based on buyers. So it has to be on listings. Any sales that you generate, again, don't count that in the equation. Have that be retirement money, fund money, whatever money, okay? So going back to this, if you need one sale a month and that's going to be a listing, well, how many listings should you have in your inventory at any one time to have one of them sell? And it depends on your market. You know, Atlanta sounds like it's going so hot. If you had just two listings listed with you at any one time, every month you should generate that one sale. So if you've got two listings and it sells, then next month put another one back. Now, listen, if you had a great month and you have two listings sell, that means you've got zero in your inventory, then maybe you've got to get two in the next 30 days to replenish. So figure out how many listings you need to maintain in your inventory to generate that revenue, that one listing sold, or if it's two listings sold, whatever you need to have that happen. Okay, so I hope that helped, Michelle, as far as that piece. The second thing, as far as drip campaign that Michelle asked for, I want to just remind people, don't spend money that you don't have. But I think this market is a good market where we should start looking at doing farming again. So farming is you're going to take about 500 people to 1,000 people, and you're going to mail out some things to them. And the best thing that I think to mail out to them is, you know, listing just listed letters, just listed sold, market update letters. I say letters, I like them better than postcards. We've done a study in my company that letters are actually better than postcards. Why? Because people, when they open up an envelope, they've made a commitment to actually invest the time to read what it is that they just opened up. So we have found better responses based on letters as opposed to postcards. The last thing I'm going to say that I think we can all benefit from as far as staying focused and being overwhelmed in our business, because, you know, you go into the office, you've got your papers, you've got your, there's so much stuff that you've got to deal with, your personal life, your business life. One of the things that I've been told by my students that really makes a tremendous impact is writing down what's the three major accomplishments they're going to do for the day. So you might have a to-do list of 20 things that you have to do that day, but writing down your three major, like no matter what you do, you've got to accomplish these three things, that if you only did these three things, that at the end of the day, when you go home and you go to bed, you're not going to feel like you didn't accomplish anything. You're going to say, well, at least I did those three things. That's really, those are really important. Those move my business forward. So that's my suggestion there. So, Michelle, I've covered everything that I think that you asked for on this list. Let me go on to the next person, which is, let me see, listening to return. is it Delaine Campbell? Delaine Campbell, are you on the call? If you are, I want you to hit *6 on your keypad one time. Now, while she's doing that, gang, if she's on the call, I want you to start to think, what is it that you need coaching with? Because I'm going to open the call to everybody, and I think I'm going to do that if Delaine's not on the call. Delaine, are you on the call? Delaine is not on the call either. Okay. So *6. Here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up a call because I don't want to keep coaching people that aren't on the call. I want to have some interaction so I can talk to human beings so I know that you're all out there. So right now, if you need some coaching on something, I want you to hit *6 one time. I want you to interrupt me. I think somebody did that. Is there somebody on the call?
Yes, I just did there.
Okay, so now I got a couple of people. That's fine. You two can stay there. Don't go anywhere. Who can I hear? Who are those two people? Say your name.
Hilda, my name is. Okay, the other one was speaking. Go ahead, the other person.
All right, so I hear Hilda.
Hello?
I have Hilda on the call. Who else is on the call?
Okay, I'm Mary Vaughn in Sarasota, and I attended your workshop a couple of weeks ago here.
All right, awesome, Mary. Hang on one second. I got Hilda and Mary. Was there somebody else that unmuted themselves? Okay,
this is Diana Kading, also from Sarasota, Florida.
Okay.
I was at your seminar also.
Oh, awesome, Diana. Boy, we've got a lot of Florida people here. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do is let me take this one at a time. So if you ladies will just stay where you are, I'm just going to first deal with Hilda, and then I'm going to go to Mary, and then I'm going to go to Diane. Okay. So, and if there's somebody else that unmuted themselves, hang in there. Wait for me, okay? Just stay quiet, because right now it's very quiet, which is good, because the static can be annoying. So, Hilda, you're going to go first. Why don't you ask me your question, and then I'm going to coach you, okay? Go ahead,
Okay. Hi, Daryl. This is Hilda from California. A quick question I have. I emailed you also. Regarding the expires, I started doing expires starting June 2nd and started with the Red X, and then I signed up again for July, and I'm trying to learn and get an expert on that expired one. So I tried, and I haven't got any listing yet. I went to the appointments, but not listing. And most of the time, wrong. The people, they say, no, they're going to go with their old agent. And what do you suggest me to do as a new agent to just keep a track and be organized on this expired? Because every time Redex is sending a couple of expires and it's adding up. What I had, I call them. If I don't talk to them, I just send them a letter. I've sent these people like second letter already.
Okay.
I haven't got any response back.
Okay.
So what do you suggest?
Okay, Hilda, great question. I just need to get a little bit more information to make sure I help you the best way, okay?
Sure.
First of all, so number one is you're calling the expireds, and are you getting appointments?
Pardon me, I didn't get your question.
I'm sorry, Hilda. Are you actually getting the listing appointment? So you're calling an expired. Are you getting in the door? Are you getting to see them?
Yeah. It happened like maybe twice.
Okay. How many people? So here, I'm going to show you something. The first thing, Hilda, okay, because there's things that we – now, by the way, gang, I just want you to remember, when I'm coaching somebody, I want you to hear yourself in the conversation, meaning that I'm not just talking to Hilda. I'm talking to everybody on this call. Because I know what I'm about to say, for example, applies to everybody, is that sometimes we are quick, Hilda, sometimes we are quick to get frustrated with what we're doing because we think the numbers, the results, are worse than what they may really be. So part of what we want to do is we want to really look at the reality and not our interpretation of the reality. I'm going to do that with you now. You'll see what I mean. How many calls would you say you've made over the past month to expires? And if you can't figure out a whole month, figure out, well, how many in a week on average? How many conversations have you had each week, roughly?
Probably 40 or 50 conversations a week.
Okay, so you had 40 or 50 conversations a week. Okay.
Yeah.
And you've done that for a month.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I took 40 and multiplied by 40, that means you've spoken to 160 expireds in the last 30 days. Is that what you're saying, Hilda?
Yes.
Okay. And of those 160, you've only gotten in the door twice?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in your case, Hilda, that is pretty concerning. Okay, so I thought it was going to be better than that. But yes, I can see why you'd be concerned, because that's not good numbers. So what we're going to do today, which is fine, that's okay, darling. What we're going to do is we're going to look at what are you actually saying and why is that. Okay, so we're going to do that. That's number one. Number two is, and Hilda, I want to say something good about what you've done, though, and this is for everybody. To me, when it comes to mastering listings, there's three phases of mastery. The last and final phase is that you go over to the house, have a conversation, and leave with a listing appointment, a listing agreement. If you go on 5 listing appointments, and you get 2 to 3 listings for every 5, you've mastered that conversation, which is the listing conversation, listing appointment. But the phase before that is getting really good at the telephone and getting the appointment. So, for example, Hilda, you call in 160 people and speaking to 160, and only getting 2 appointments. appointments, yes, that's, there's definitely something going wrong there, and we're going to look at that, okay? But the phase before that, Hilda, is even getting past the fear of picking up the damn phone in the first place. There's a lot of people that are on this call, Hilda, that they're like, they're even shocked that you made that many calls and had that many conversations because they can't even imagine doing that. So it's important that you recognize and acknowledge the accomplishments that you have done because that will empower you to keep pushing through. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Now, so I don't want you to be frustrated because I'm going to fix you right now. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So, Hilda, what I want you to do is I want you to make believe that I am an expired listing and you're calling me. I need to hear what you're doing before I can give you any advice. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. So I'm an expired. You call me. I answer the phone. So it goes ring, ring, and I say, hello. Go.
Hi. May I speak to Daryl, please?
This is he.
Hi, Daryl. This is Hilda from Hall and Chambers Real Estate. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Daryl, the reason why I'm calling is that I noticed your house expired from multiple listing services, and I was wondering, is your house still for sale?
Hilda, before I answer that, what do you normally get? What's the common one that you get so I can do it the right way for you?
No, I'm not listing anymore.
Okay. Is the house still for sale? No, it's not. We're taking it off the market.
I just want to know if you're willing to meet with me. I just want to see if I can help you to sell your home. Is it possible? Because the market is hot right now, and I just want to see if I can help you.
No, I'm not interested in selling.
Daryl, would you be offended if I just stop by and take a look at your house since one of my clients was interested in your property?
I guess you didn't hear me. I'm not interested in selling my house. Okay, so Hilda, I can see exactly what you're doing wrong, okay?
Okay.
So it's okay. Listen, I can hear a little depression in your voice. Don't do that. You are doing awesome, Hilda. You're making the calls, you're trying, and son of a gun, Hilda, you're on this friggin' conference call with me trying to fix it. You should be proud that you're not giving up. Do you hear me?
I know, I'm stressing out too.
I know you, I can hear it in your voice, and I'm telling you, I'm very excited and proud of the fact that you are committed to having a breakthrough. That's important. Most agents, Hilda, would have given up a long time ago. You understand? So don't get sad or frustrated. All right, because we're gonna fix it right now. It's a simple fix. Now I'm gonna call you. You be the expired. Tell me the same thing, and I want you to hear how it's different. And by the way, Hilda, we're recording this, so we're gonna post it on the website so you'll be able to hear this later. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You're the homeowner. I call you. Ring, ring. Answer the phone. Go.
Hi, this is Hilda. Who is this?
Hi, Hilda. This is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. How are you, ma'am?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. Hilda, the reason why I was calling you is I noticed your house had expired off the multiple listing, and I was wondering, is the house still for sale?
No, it's not. It's off the market.
Oh. Well, that's a shame. You know, I'm actually looking at a copy of the listing, and it looks really fantastic, your house. I'm kind of surprised that it didn't sell. Do you know why that is?
Well, I don't know, but we're not interested in selling.
Okay. Well, I saw it was a four-bedroom, two-bath colonial. Let me ask you, were you thinking of staying in the neighborhood? Why were you thinking of selling in the first place?
Well, we were trying to move... But we're not moving anymore. We're going to keep the house.
I see. Was it? Did you already buy a house in making this move or no?
No. No.
Okay. All right. So it was. If you don't mind me asking, because again, the house looks very beautiful, and we've had a know, the activity's been really good, and we've had a lot of properties sell before. Did you, at the same time that, you were on the market, did the agent do everything that you felt they should have done, or?
I guess he did. I guess he did, but I'm not sure why he didn't sell. But now we cannot anymore, so we're going to stay.
You sound frustrated, like you wish it had sold. Do you still wish that it had sold?
Yeah. At least it moved, yeah.
Yeah, so, all right. How long have you been living in this house, Elvis?
For 15 years.
15, wow. Well, so this is a really big decision that you were thinking about selling. Do you mind me asking, where were you thinking of moving to? Was it a bigger house or a smaller house? All right, so Hilda, let me just stop there. Let me stop because I think I made my point, okay? There's a couple of things. First of all, what did I do different than what you were doing?
You try to keep the person on the phone and ask him more questions to find out what's his reason.
Yes.
And sometimes, usually, Daryl, they stop you. They don't want to talk to you. Few people you see, they're patient, they answer, but most of the time they say, you know what, I don't have time, I'm not selling it, bye, hang up.
Okay, well, there's a couple of things I want to say. It's first of all, the fact that you were doing something terribly wrong, which I'll point out in a minute, I don't want you to get cynical now, Hilda, meaning that because you've had a lot of bad results with the call that you're going to say, well, now this is how they're always going to be now. Because you don't know what they're going to be if you do it the right way. You know how they're going to be doing it the wrong way. But you may have totally different results. So do not think that everybody's going to rush off the phone now because that's what you've been getting. You've been getting them rushing off the phone because of how you've been doing it, which was wrong. Okay? If you do it right, that's not going to happen. Okay?
Okay.
That's the first thing. I don't want you to become one of these cynical people that you say, oh, it never works. It does work. I know you have a lot of reasons to think that way, but that's because you did it wrong so many times. So let me just point out what you did wrong, okay? What you were doing is you were trying to get the appointment right at the beginning of the call. And here's what happens for an expired. When an expired puts their house on the market, you know, and they have these people, and it's on the market for 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. I mean, I want all of you on this call to just imagine what it would feel like if you had your house, and I know you're a realtor, but just make believe for a second that you're not. And let's say your house that you all live in right now, that you were going to sell it, the house that you raised your kids in, the house that you've been living in for all these years, if these walls can talk, the memories, the house. If you were selling your house right now and you had complete strangers tramping through your house day after day, week after week, month after month, and then you get no offers, how would you feel? You would feel like the same way that a person feels when their house has been robbed. You're going to feel emotionally intruded upon. You're going to feel personally rejected. These expireds are at a very emotional state where they get to the point where they resign to the fact that, you know what, screw this hell, I ain't doing this. So if you call an expired who feels rejected personally, resigned, that nothing's going to change, realtors stink, whatever they're feeling, and you call and the first thing you say is, well, I'd like to come over and see your house, Hilda, they're going to rush you off the phone and say, I'm not interested, screw you. Are you understanding this, Hilda?
Yes.
So what you have to do is when you call an expired, you have to be very sensitive to the fact that this is a wounded animal and you need to heal the wound first. And how you heal the wound is you've got to find out what happened. Why do you think it didn't work? Well, this is almost like a therapy session. You know, why do you think it didn't sell? Well, the house is really nice. I mean, do you feel like the agent did what they were supposed to? I mean, was there any challenge there? Did they advertise it? And then you want to then talk about, well, where were you thinking of moving to? Why there? Why was that important? In other words, Hilda, you want to bring to the surface what they're committed to, because, Hilda, nobody puts their house on the market unless they're committed to accomplishing something. And the thing that they're trying to accomplish is to move in their life. So this is a next level that they're trying to reinvent their life. So you want to try and find out, well, why? What was that next level? Where were they moving to? Why did they want to go there? Is it bigger house, smaller house, is it a job relocation, whatever the case is? So try and ask those questions. If you can bring that to the surface, Hilda, if you can get them in this place of that, yes, this is, you know, we wanted to move because we wanted a bigger house and we thought our house was worth it, then I would ask this question. And by the way, I would also ask this question if you know they're going to hang up on you. And the question would be, well, let me ask you, Hilda, if I can, I know you're probably discouraged and frustrated right now with what happened, but let me ask you this. If I could help you get the property sold for the money that you needed, if I can help you move into that new home like you wanted to, you see, it's hard enough to ask the question if you don't know why they were selling. But if I found out the reason why you were selling is because you wanted a bigger house in another part of town, if I can help you get into that a newer house, Hilda, in that part of town, and if it worked financially, you know, would that be some? Would you be interested in that? You know, I feel frustrated for you because it sounds like this is a very exciting thing for you. This is something that you really wanted to, something that you were committed to. Nobody puts their house on the market for as long as you did unless you're really committed, and I can understand you're maybe now feeling discouraged and frustrated. But if I can bring some life back into the what you were trying to accomplish, if I can help you do that, is that something you'd be interested in? I'm not talking about listing. I understand that you feel that might not have worked. But if I can help you get over to that new part of town and it worked for you financially, is that still a possibility? You know, why don't we do this? Let me just take a look and see at your house and see if there is a way. If I don't think I can help you, I'll tell you the first 10 minutes I'm there. I don't want to waste your time. Does that make sense, Hilda?
Yes.
All right. Now, Hilda, here's the other thing. Have you been calling CISBOs?
I tried two people, yes.
Mary, you're going to be up next, so Mary, don't go anywhere. Hilda,
okay.
Thank you, Mary. So you've called a couple of people and it hasn't worked for you, right?
Yeah.
All right, Hilda, I want you to try this expired the way we just talked about it. Do not jump to the appointment so quickly. If they feel like they're going to rush you off the phone, I still want you to try and get them to talk about why they were selling and where they were moving to. The best question to start with, Hilda, is, hi, I'm calling about the house. Is still available? Hilda, I know it's expired. Is the house still for sale? You say, no, we took it off the market. The first thing you say is, well, I'm looking at a copy of the listing, and I'm a little surprised it didn't sell. Do you have any idea why that is? Have them talk about the frustration they went through. If they don't tell you right away, I don't know why it didn't sell, and we're just going to take it off the market. But, Hilda, most people are not going to do what you did. Most people will tell you why they're frustrated. If you ask that question, I'm looking at a copy of the listing, I'm surprised it didn't sell. Why do you think that is? That's a great question, Hilda. You want them to get it off their chest.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we've been living in this. This is more likely what you're going to get, Hilda. I don't know why it didn't sell. You know, the agent had it listed for 3 months. They did an open house almost every weekend, and they ran ads. I mean, I didn't have a problem with the agent. I don't know why it didn't sell. We had a lot of people, but I got one offer. I could have killed that person because they wanted me to take $50,000 off and plus wash their car. I'm so frustrated with this whole process. Hilda, that's more likely what you're going to get if you do it the right way. You've been doing it the wrong way. If you do it that way, I promise you're going to get better results, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I want you to email me and let me know how you make out. So you're going to try this for a week and email me, okay?
Okay.
All right, Hilda. Great job. Hilda, I want you to hit *6 on your keypad. That's going to put you back on mute.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome, honey. Mary, what's going on, baby?
Yeah. Oh, okay, Daryl. That was very
interesting.
I am an agent coming back into the business after being in a referral company for several years. I kind of got very discouraged in Florida here with the West Coast with all the short sales that weren't going anywhere. And I tended to put all my eggs in one basket. So I've gone into your seminar, last time I was you were here a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just kind of getting started with some really good information. But my question is, I don't have anything to show on my website or my company website of anything I've sold because I've been out of the business for a while, and I feel overwhelmed by a lot of the more experienced agents that can point to all of these sales they've made. And I'm wondering, in looking for new listings, you know, in the past I've always gotten from people that I knew, and they just wanted me to sell. They didn't really ask about this or that or the other. But what do you do when you feel like you're kind of behind the eight ball with having nothing to really show people?
Well, Mary, that's a great question. There's a few things. First of all, I want you to keep something in mind. Every agent who's successful right now was new at some point. So, in other words, my point here, what I'm trying to make for you, because I don't want you to get discouraged either, Mary, if the agents that you're talking about that are advertising their production, their success, well, they were new at one point, too, so somehow they got through it. So you will, too, okay? Now, what most agents...
Go ahead. I was going to say, I could add that I've been licensed for a long time, but I kind of carried it back up for my main profession, which was music and teaching. And now I really want to make some money in the business, and this is why I'm saying it's not that I don't have some experience, but everything has changed. You know, the market's changed, the electronics and all, everything has changed. And I just want to, you know, say that I want to do it right this time and make some money.
I got you. Well, bless your heart. Well, but here's what I like you to think. Is if you keep, I want you to think of yourself as a brand new agent, okay? The reason why I think that's going to help you, if you keep thinking, well, I'm experienced with no production and these people are experienced with production, you know, I'm at a disadvantage. So that's why that thinking won't help you. And so if you look at it like, okay, forget it, the market's changed, everything's changed, I changed. That's good. So this is a new market, and it's a new Mary, and you're a brand new agent. Does that make sense, Mary?
Yes, it does.
All right, so now that's the attitude, the mindset. Now let's look at the logistics and technically what do we need to do. Well, let me finish the mindset. The one thing that every agent who is new to real estate, what they have over the other people is that, you know, they have passion and enthusiasm more so than most others that are experienced. Number two is even the agents who are still passionate, they're top agents and they have production, well, they've got a lot of paperwork to do. You know, every time they get a listing and they've got to deal with servicing it and talking to the homeowner and doing open houses, every time they're doing that, what they're not doing, Mary, is they're not prospecting. So that gives you an opportunity. So somebody who's mean and lean has advantages over somebody who's old and fat and fat in production, I mean, okay? So, all right. Now, here's the next thing, Mary. I don't want you to think that you need to, like, have a website and have all this stuff. You show me an agent who's got websites and technologies and iPhones and tablets, but they don't know how to pick up a phone and generate a listing appointment, I'll show you somebody who's broke. So you don't worry about you need bells and whistles and you need to be tech savvy and all that stuff. You got a website that lists your accomplishments. That's not important. What you need, Mary, is a cell phone and a bunch of leads to start prospecting so you can get in the door and get listing appointments, okay? The only thing you should focus on right now, Mary, is building your listing inventory. How many listings do you have right now? Zero?
No.
None. Okay, that's fine.
I haven't been able to do anything. That's another story, but I haven't been able to really get out and do since I've attended your workshop.
That's all right, Mary. Just don't worry about it. About probably 80% of the people on this phone would answer the same question you just answer the same way you just did. So don't worry about it. That's the norm. So unfortunately, so. What I want you to do is you need to make a commitment to generating these listing appointments. The best way to do it, the quickest way, Mary, is the FSBOs and expires. Okay?
Okay.
So you don't have to do mailings. You don't have to spend money on a website. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. All right? You know, whatever you've got, you've got. Which, by the way, do you? Let me just see here. Do you have a website, Mary?
Yes, I do.
What is the address, please?
It's www.artistichome.com. artistichomeservice.com. I think it's, oh, I'm sorry, that's not it. It's artistichomeservice.com. And then I have a realtor, my real estate agent, broker has a website. And, you know, she kind of rather us now. Have.
Hang on, Mary, 1 second, please. Artistic, is that A-R-T-I-S-C?
Home service, service.com. And I have to admit, it's not highly finished, but I've got it through a 0.2 website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So listen.
And marketing, start point.
Point two Agent Express, is that right? Yeah. Okay, good. So.
They're like a marketing firm. Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I'm looking at your website, Mary. Guess what? It's good. You don't need anything else. It's good. You don't worry about it. Move off it. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it right now, okay? You're good. You got a website. What you need to do, Mary, is just start putting a system together and staying focused and calling FSBOs and expires. You have those CDs for me, right, on how to call the FSBO. Is that right?
Yes, I got the whole package.
All right, darling. That's all I want you to do right now. You know, if you try That's the most important thing, Mary, is that, listen to me, darling, if you call FSBOs and expires every day, and if you do it the right, you know, do the right dialogue, so pay attention to that, and you heard what I just did with Hilda, so I'm sure that helped you too. If you do that, you're going to get a listing probably in the next 30 days, and that's what you need to do, is just get, build your inventory by one a month. You know, maybe if you can do it more, that's better, of course, but you definitely can do this, okay? So have, number one is focus on prospecting every day, FSBOs and expires. Number two is be organized. Use the Red X system that you should have. Number three is put together a nice listing book of some kind that talks about more your company than you, because you don't have a lot of stuff right now. I mean, you do have 10 years experience. You do have your certificate from the board, from the department, from Florida, your license, your code of ethics, being a realtor. So there are things that you can talk about. And Mary, if you listen to the powerful listing conversation CD, so you got the whole package. You have the listing appointment. Yeah, it's called the Powerful Listing Conversation and the FSBO CDs. Those two, listen to those, and you're going to be so set, okay? And then as you're doing that, I want you to contact me, email me, and we'll talk about it on the next call next month, okay?
Okay, thank you, Daryl.
You're so welcome, Mary. Diana, you're up. And gang, we're
okay, thank you, Daryl.
1 second, Diana. When I'm done with Diana, gang, I'm going to talk to you about the magazine in the remaining time in our call, and I'll tell you what you need to look at in the magazine. So some really great stuff this month. So go ahead, Diane. What do you got?
I will keep this fairly short because you're probably running out of time. Everything that Mary said, I can reiterate. I was in real estate 16 years, and I did fairly well. But then I took 6 years off, and now I'm kind of like a new agent starting up again. And I talked to my broker about this, and, you know, she said, suggested that I email all my former clients. I could probably use the sales that I had in the past, I think. That's my question to you. Can I use the older sales that I had in the past to show that I can sell? But the main thing is I'm paralyzed about calling. And I asked my broker about that, and she said, I think that you work better in person with people. And I just have this fear of the phone and doing this expires and FSBOs. And I never got listings that way, but I never was a great lister either, that being added. Mm-hmm. I had maybe at the most 3 listings at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I got them through referrals or through the neighbors or friends, you know, things like that. So I'm not really, I know that I have to work on listings because I see that the market has changed, as Mary said. It's changed drastically with all these, the couple of buyers I'm working with now who are constantly doing their own research online, and
mm-hmm.
they think that they actually know more than real estate agents at this point.
Yeah,
so
no,
I realized.
Let me help you here, Diana, because there's a couple of things you said, and I took notes, and I want to stop you with what's this important thing that you just said about buyers, you know, doing all this research, coming in more, thinking that they know everything. Gang, this is why, Diana, this is why you want to stay away from buyers, especially where you are in your business, and build listing inventory. I'm going to tell you something that's very interesting that happens. When you have a breakthrough emotionally and production-wise as far as listings, let me tell you what happens. You get 10 times better with buyers. I'm going to say that again because it's very important, Diana.
Okay.
Every single agent on this phone call knows listings are the name of the game. You need to list to last. Everybody knows that. And because we all know that, when you aren't good at listings, you feel unprofessional almost with buyers. You feel like you're going to them because that's as good as you can do, and it makes you not work well with buyers because you're almost working with them also out of desperation. Now, when you master calling a homeowner, getting in the door, having a conversation, leading with a listing, marketing that listing, showing that listing, promoting that listing, and you do that enough, now you go work, play with buyers, and buyers come to you, you're going to be more confident, you're going to be stronger, you're going to be more in control of that appointment because you're a listing agent. Are you hearing me, Diana?
Yeah, definitely built your confidence. I see that.
Absolutely.
I mean,
agents have a breakthrough, Diana, with buyers when they become better at listings.
Because I used to be so good with working with buyers years ago. I did most of my business with buyers, but yeah, I realized that I have to change now.
Yes, you have to change. And plus, if you always had about three listings at one time, that's not bad, Diana. You know, here's a statistic from NAR. The average realtor in the country only does 2 sales in a whole year. 2.
Wow.
2 in 12 months. That's the average.
Not good.
No, it's not. So the fact you tell me you had 3 listings at any one time, that's above average, darling. And so that's probably...
Well, not always. I didn't always have 3 listings. Sometimes I only had 1 listing.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, here's what you need to do. Number one is you need to, for everybody on this call, if you feel like you don't have good credibility on a listing appointment as far as your own credentials, focus on your company. Focus more on the company aspect and the success of that company. You asked me, Diana, can you use your old stats, your old numbers? It depends on what those numbers are. You know, if you made 6 sales and you've been in real estate 6 years, I wouldn't advertise that. But if you look at all of the sales and all of the listings and all the clients, both sides, you know, you can say that, you know, I've been in real estate for 10 years, and in that 10 years, I've dealt with over, you know, 150 families. You know, if you took all of your business, you know what I'm saying? If you took all your business, even maybe people that didn't buy, you know, somehow have integrity, don't lie, but beef up your numbers and word it with integrity, that's what you could do. The second thing is if you are good face-to-face with people, there's nothing wrong with door knocking. I'm just not a fan of it because I'm a little overweight and I don't like to work out. but I know plenty of people, Diana, who are much better door knocking than they are making phone calls. Hilda, that's something to consider too. I personally, you know, I'm from New York, so going to somebody's house and knocking on the door, you know, I was always worried I'd get shot. So I always prefer the phone. So there's nothing wrong with door knocking, though, okay?
Okay, what about the letter program?
On the Power Program website, there are letters that you can mail to expireds, for example. And in some of the magazines, I think we've given you letters for maybe even mailing to FSBOs. Any of you that are in Florida, I'm doing this 3-day training course in Fort Lauderdale this Monday called Sure. Let me give everybody a website, MySureResults.com, MySureResults.com, no space, no dash. That's in Fort Lauderdale, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And in that program, Diana, the agents actually get a mailing campaign to send to FSBOs. There's a whole bunch of letters that you can send every day for like 3 weeks. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not a fan of mailings to FSBOs and expireds. I'd much rather you either call them, and if you can't get the phone number, it's unlisted with an expired, I prefer you to door knock. Some agents, Diana, and I think you would be this person because you tip your hand at the beginning. You say, you know, I'm kind of afraid of the phone. So you're going to look, Diana, to avoid the phone, darling. And the phone is the quickest, best, most effective way to get an appointment when you do the dialogue that way. So don't try not to run away from that, darling. All right.
You need to learn those, like you said in the seminar, you really need to learn those dialogues like the way you just showed Hilga. I really need to be able to organize my brain when I'm speaking to people. But I see what you're saying is just a human aspect, just learning, being human and finding out their frustrations and sympathizing with them and offering help.
Yes, absolutely. If you have a breakthrough in making the phone calls, Diana, you're going to have a breakthrough in so many other aspects of your real estate business. You're going to feel more confident, more in control, less of a victim, more causing your life versus being at the effect of it. There's so many. It's like, you know, when you get good at saving money, you actually become a better business person because the ritual of saving, learning the habit of saving. Gives you so many other skill sets because of that one action. And the same is true about the FSBOs and expireds. The two other things I'll tell you is ask your broker for any past deals that have closed where the owners or buyer, the agent who was involved in that deal is not working for the company anymore. That's called an orphan. And maybe you can introduce yourself to those people, and they can be part of your past clients, and you can introduce yourself and see how they like the home, if there's anything they can do, you can do for them. The last thing that's really good to generate listing funds, other than physicals and expires that are pretty quick, is doing an open house on a listing just for the neighbors. And, if you ask another agent in the office if you can do that, you want to invite the neighbors to an open house in case they know of a family member that would like to buy into the neighborhood. What's good about that is those neighbors who come to the open house, you know they're not buyers, you know they're neighbors, so you're really trying to build a relationship and ask them if they want to have an updated market analysis on their property. So that will actually generate listing appointments and neighborhood open house, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're so welcome, Diana. All right, gang, before I end the call, I need to, did that help you, Diana?
Yes, very much. The whole call helped me hearing everything.
Awesome. All right, gang, thank you, Diane, for that. Thank you, Hilda. Thank you, Mary. Listen, gang, let me see here. This magazine, what I'm going to tell you, just jot down I only got like 3 minutes left. Let me do this pretty quick here. Once you log into the Power website, gang, thepowerprogram.com, once you log in, you can't see the magazine unless you're logged in. And if you have problems, contact my office with the login information. There's a few pages I want to point out here. So just write this really quick because I'm going to burn through this. Page 27, there's a great ad. And the reason why it's great is because it looks like an article, page 27 in the magazine. Page 28 is a way to show your credibility if you're a big agent. If you're not a big agent, those stats that you'll see on page 28, use the company stats. Page 30, this is a great idea. One of our students years ago created a seminar for senior citizens, and they came to the seminar. This idea is great if you want to do a seminar for the neighborhood about how to sell your house in today's market, how to capitalize in the surge of real estate activity in Atlanta, something like that. Only if you're in Atlanta, of course. That article, page 30, not article, but that page 30 is a great layout of an idea for an event. Let's see. Page 32 is a great flyer. The only thing I would change, jot this down, is it says, thinking of selling, I recently completed the 2011 real estate status report. Instead of calling it a status report, I like calling it the neighborhood market report, which is the same thing, gang, as a CMA. But it sounds a lot better when you call it the neighborhood market report. If any of you have a team, page 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, and 38 is a great checklist for when you have a team. But let me tell you another use for page 33. Even if you don't have a team, you can take page, that what I just said, and show a homeowner what's involved and all the tasks that you need to do when you're an agent and you get hired to market somebody's house. This is like a great to show on a listing appointment of all the hard work we do that most homeowners don't appreciate. On page 41 and 42 and 43, there's great websites that I'll suggest that you look into. And page 41, I just want to say e-fundraising. There's a website about putting together fundraisers. That's a good marketing technique to use in your farm area. So anyway, let me tell you this. There's so much in this magazine, and every month there's more that you can actually apply. So don't try and apply everything. If you take one page every month out of the magazine and you implement it in your business, plus you'd be on this call, if you do just those two things and you don't do anything else, this program should really help increase your business by 10%. That's 120% raise that you can give yourself just doing those two things. All right, gang. I'm going to unmute everybody so I can hear everybody. So, everybody, you're unmuted so I can hear everybody. Was this call good for you guys? Did you learn anything? Yes or no?
Great.
Yes. 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 Come on.
Awesome.
It was awesome.
Thank you, gang. Listen, don't forget one last thing, and then I'm going to say goodbye to you, and that is, we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. When you think about it, what we do is we help people get to their next level of their life. What we do is change people's lives. So the more people's lives that you change, the more money you make. Your money is a gauge as to how many people you've made a difference with. So go out and make a difference with a lot of people, and your needs will be met. All right, God bless you, gang. Love you. Don't forget to keep smiling. All righty. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl.
You're welcome.